Our first one of self, fourth one of self-interest.
Self-service.
The earth version.
Yes.
So we are coming down the pyramid. The earth version. Now, with this point, we've done two earth signs. We did Virgo, and we did, and now we're doing Taurus. And the short definition of Taurus means to have the permission to explore the greatest amount of pleasure for its own sake. This requires an incarnation. It's not anything you do in the mind. It's not about consciousness. This is one of the Ananda ones I was referring to earlier. There was, however, a philosophy associated with it, an entire mystery school dedicated to Taurus, which was called Epicureanism. And when we say Epicure today, a lot of time people just think of food. But originally, if you happen to choose Epicureanism as the school you were studying, the first precept of Epicureanism is to extend the experience of pleasure and minimize the experience of pain. And there were three primary techniques that were used. One was called endurance. Pleasure as long as possible. The second was called intensity. Pleasure as deep as possible. And the third was I forget the technical word they used, but the translation is moderation. You know, so if there's something that feels good, you know, let's say two glasses of high-end wine make you feel good, but a third glass gives a headache, well, then it would be a precept of Epicureanism to never do that. This is very different than Scorpio. Remember when we were talking about Scorpio, it's like, okay, well, the third, I kind of got a headache, but gee, I would really want to see what fourth is like. Because it's my job to find out what the fourth one is like. Go to the edge, beyond.
I define Epicureanism as being a connoisseur of life, of just finding and experiencing and enjoying all of the finest things in life.
And well, I'm using the fact that here that there was existing a mystery school called, which was called Epicureanism, which I'm convinced really is what the Taurus mystery school is about. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with your definition. It is about Epicurean. It is about connoisseur. But not everybody who's in the Taurus mystery school is necessarily a connoisseur. Maybe if it's Capricorn involved, they're a connoisseur. Because if you like what you like. I mean, there could be a person who likes something and finds pleasure in something that a connoisseur might not consider to be worth their while. But it's their capacity to enjoy the experience for its own sake that's important. Without any judgments, really. Because it's the mind may make a judgment, I shouldn't be enjoying this. But if you are, in fact, enjoying it, and there's no judgment against it, well, then there's no other thing to do other than to be with that experience. It's like some of the places on the wheel are about doing. Taurus is about being. There's not a goal to it. Even if you look out of it, I'm going to do this as long as possible, I'm going to do it as deep as possible, and I'm going to do it in moderation, but there's nothing in that that says, oh, but I need to get somewhere with this. There isn't a reward that comes from, kind of like if you apply it to sexuality. If you apply it to sexuality, you can be in many ways. You can be engaged in a sexual experience, and there's a goal. It can be a variety of things. You know, we're going to, for making a baby, for satisfying the person you're with, for satisfying yourself and getting to some sort of conclusion to the experience. But Taurus, you're in the present moment. And if you, particularly if you know endurance and intensity, you know, well, it should go on forever. Why not? There's no other thing but this. If we know what's good, you just stay with it as long as possible and as deep as possible, and to make sure, you know, when it starts feeling not good, we'll then change to something else. It's that simple. It's very contrary to the to Saturn's ways. You know, I should have been able to endure this longer. Or I should have been able to enjoy the third glass. Well, not necessarily. If you like what you're doing, just stay with it. Why change it? I mean, that was basically what that mystery school was about. And it's really interesting, if you look at the history of it, is that it was actually put in the category of a materialism philosophy. No, I don't mean materialism in the way we think of materialists today. In the old days, they would say that you had an idealistic philosophy or you had a materialistic philosophy. Idealistic meant you believed there was some higher meaning or truth or higher consciousness. The materialist, it wasn't that they were accumulating stuff, they just believed all there was atoms. Just matter. And so they actually looked at, they were like, we can say they were agnostics or they were, they didn't do any light polarization, let's put it that way. And they said, well, all right, we're in a body, we're on the planet, feels good. And let's figure out all the ways to make it continue to feel good. And in more recent times, Saturn hasn't really liked that very much. There's this famous story. I think it was the first time Timothy Leary was being sentenced by a judge. And I think it was probably for marijuana or something. And the judge, you know, basically Tim is just being Tim, you know, like philosophically describing what he does in his life and then acting kind of, you know, very confident at the same time. And the judge, at a certain point, just loses it. And it's just, we could say, the true nature of the judge comes out. He starts screaming at him, "You pleasure seeker!"
Yeah.
He just completely blew all of the rules the judge was trying to allegedly hold together for the world, you know? How dare you choose to be a pleasure seeker? Taurus is, in some ways, is even simpler to describe than Scorpio. It's in that same category of either you feel it or you don't, but for Taurus, it's not about having to be active even. You know, it's a being situation. Can you just be present with how good it feels? These days when I try to think of the distinction between Scorpio and Taurus, by the way, one of the things we're going to be doing later in the workshop is arranging the room by the rising signs, and then you'll be able to actually see these axes. You know, like, so at this moment I'm Scorpio Mars, and I'm looking across, am I looking at across at any Taurus? Yeah, so basically Scorpio-Taurus axis here. And we have the Scorpio-Taurus thing going on here too. But the way to understand the difference between Taurus and Scorpio is to think of honey. Now imagine, I'm going to make the assumption that that's a positive image for people, honey. I don't look around and see. I made a mistake once. I went to one workshop once where I used this analogy, and turned out it was a really hardcore raw food community. And they basically blanched when I used the honey analogy. They were not into honey. They weren't into anything, any sugar or anything. So, but most of the time this works. All right, so honey. The difference between Taurus and Scorpio is that Taurus is the honey. If you're honey, your only thing is to, you know, do whatever you can to be sweeter or, you know, deeper, richer, more intense in your being sweet, all right? The purpose of Scorpio is to seek out the greatest and most amazing honey. So one is the receiver, and the other seeks out the honey. It's that simple, really.
Wait, say that again. Sorry, one more time.
All Taurus has to do is settle into being sweet Taurus. And then a good, unhindered Scorpio is that which seeks out where the sweetest honey is. It's completely natural. And it's all based upon body and desire. It's not based on mind at all. You know, it's magnetic. You feel it. It's not mediated by judgments of right, wrong, good, bad. I shouldn't be attracted to that person. I really shouldn't. I'm feeling something. Now, I'm not trying to say that means you have the license to jump on that person. But I'm saying there's value in giving yourself permission to feel what you feel. I mean, for those that, this is tricky territory, because for those who don't have the Scorpio Taurus thing going, this can seem difficult to understand. Where, you know, let's say you meet somebody and you can actually feel, my Scorpio is happening, and that's honey. And, but you also know that for a variety of perfectly legitimate reasons that it's not to be literalized. Okay? But if we're talking about the Scorpio-Taurus axis, it's actually extremely honoring that there can be something shared about this. If actually the other person could be thrilled to hear it. Makes you feel good to be able to tell the truth about it. And we're mature enough, and you know, we have enough sense about what to literalize and what not to, that it can be extremely honoring to be able to acknowledge what's actually happening.
That can lead to actually wanting to act on it even more. Or it could go the other way where it's not. It's satisfying enough to just have that.
Sometimes, what we're speaking of here is how the different mystery schools can bump up against the other ones. And particularly if, by definition, Taurus and Scorpio is repressed. You know, so it's kept in the closet, or it's prevented from any honesty about what's actually taking place. Now, this is not taking place for everybody. I'm just talking about two places on the wheel. And what I'm saying is, the acknowledgement of the aliveness in the long run is way better than its repression. It's a much larger issue to be able to then, I'm not here in this conversation now to try to think up new rules and regulations for therapists, for tantra circles, for shamanic astrology circles. You know, I mean, it's very that's for the Capricorns in the room to figure out. We're just acknowledging that this is a real thing, and it's not bad. There's places on the wheel that need to actually be allowed in the room, and to be honored for the power that they are.
To paraphrase it, it's no more sacred to honor pain than it is pleasure.
Paraphrase what?
Well, to paraphrase the perspective, to put it in a perspective, that honoring pain and suffering is no more sacred or better than honoring pleasure and the joy of that.
They're just energies. But the Taurian, what makes Taurus Taurus, and which gives the magic of the Taurus Scorpio polarity.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about it.
Because one of them is active and one of them is receptive.
Right.
And they're not engaged in the superego dance of right, wrong, good, or bad. You know, they're just experiencing. And those are trainings. I mean, if somebody has a whole bunch of Scorpio and they've never been trained in it, well, then they either end up being afraid to feel anything they feel, and then there's all kinds of things that happen, from physical things that happen to the body to the stories of, you know, people, well, he was always such a nice guy, you know, and then you hear about the shootings or the disasters that take place.
Yeah, you see it every day with the politicians and the priests that
right.
bottled up that.
Right. Yeah. What you said there brings up an interesting issue. While Taurus is about feeling good, there is a shadow of it, which would be like our negative images of hedonism. It can be an amazing attachment. In much the same way, if we look at Scorpio, many people get into their early experiences of Scorpio through pain, not through pleasure. Because, as you pointed out quite rightly, it's just energy. If we're looking at it from the perspective of Scorpio, there's some men and some women, I'm not saying all, that the first time they have an orgasm, this experience is pain.
As what?
As pain. Yes. Taurus wouldn't understand this. That it's like something that has not ever opened, and now it opens. The mind says that hurts. Actually, all that's happening is there's just an overwhelming energy there that hasn't been felt there before.
It's the resistance to it that causes the pain.
By the second or third time, usually, it's like, it's kind of interesting. You know, so then it shifts. But the point is this is just strong energy. And even the word passion, which is generally used for Scorpio, think of the word passion. Today we usually think that's a good thing, but originally passion simply meant the fullest activation of the possibilities of experience. Like, think of the passion of Christ. Got crucified! Passion! You know, so it's really agony and ecstasy. It's the full arousal, all the full energy you can experience. It is ultimately bliss, ananda. But Taurus is more like, let's just savor the experience. We don't even need to change it. And this leads to why it is that the Taurus sun sign is interpreted the way it is. In our culture, slow, stubborn, not wanting to change. Why do you suppose? See, that's really not Taurus. That's the remnant of a really healthy state. So a person comes into the life knowing how to do things forever. Deep, intense, why change it? Why? No need. No other place to get to. So therefore, the people live with a lot of Taurus, particularly the Taurus moons, you know, it's like they're stuck in the remnant of what had originally been really positive essences. You know, okay, I've been living in the same house for 30 years. Are you enjoying living in this house? No. Why don't you go somewhere else? I don't want to change. You know, it's like the remnant of the fact that you just don't change, you stay in the same experience. You have to point out to them that you're really not enjoying it, are you? But what remains is the stability, the consistency, the endurance, and the intensity that comes from when it was something that they were enjoying. It's very, we'd say, an honest mistake, or it's like an identification with a condition that had at one point been pleasurable. But their habit, the way their soul is set up, is to not see a value in frequent change. See how different this is from the in-service to spirit ones. All of the in-service to spirit ones are about many things. Oh, okay. I now know how to be a midwife. Cool. All right, I'm really wanting to get into herbs. Great. Okay, now I got that one. Ah, the patterning of the stars. Let's do that one. You know, you can't commit to anything. Where did that idea come from? That somebody else's mystery school says that. But you know, for the in service to spirit ones, it flows easily from one thing to the next. The Taurus, no. So they have to go through some fairly excruciating things of not feeling good to get to where they say, well, might be some value in making a change here. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the gods and goddesses go, in Greek philosophy, Greek mythology, this is one of the places where there is a goddess. There's a one-to-one, absolute bullseye connection. To, at least from the feminine side, a goddess, Aphrodite. And if we imagine a pre-patriarchal Aphrodite, she had three main skills. Number one, she was the goddess of beauty and aesthetics. But she was not trying to be beautiful to turn on the men. She wasn't trying to be beautiful in order to correspond to cultural images of beauty. She defined in her own being what beauty was. And it was for herself. Why do you suppose she's looking at herself in the mirror all the time? Secondly, she was an expert at intimacy. An expert at personal intimacy. But not for children, not for husbands. It's called intimacy as art. Intimacy as art. No, who can say that that's any less deeply intimate than husbands and wives? In fact, in some cases, it's deeper. And the only thing is that intimacy is art. It's something worth exploring for its own sake, not for some other goal. Not for the goal of, oh, this will score me a husband. Intimacy for its own sake. And of all the goddesses, and this is something that Taurus is really unique in, it is the only one of the 12 that's entirely about receiving. Receiving. Right receivership. What do we mean by this? Standard example, a person is getting a 2-hour massage, and not once in the 2 hours do you ever have the feeling you need to give anything back. How many massage therapists run into the clients who can't wait to do something for you? Or feel guilty that now for 15 minutes they've done nothing but receive. And they want to tell you about their skills. So a good receiver, healthy receivership, number one, is not an indiscriminate receiver. So in other words, they know what's good by definition. But then, by being a receiver, what's happening is they're gifting the giver. There's nothing better for a giver than to be with someone who's a good receiver. This is the gift of Taurus. Now, of course, the shadow side exists. And our culture is easily loving to look for the shadow side. You lazy receiver. All you do is just lie there.
You just want to be taken care of. You know, all the images of kept women. But of course, there's kept men, too. So it's not, we're not just reserving this for women. So there's the male version of Taurus, too, that we might need to look at. Now, in the history of humanity, the Taurus version of the feminine was the third option. In other words, after the priestess traditions were gone, the Tantrika traditions were gone, the Amazon traditions were gone, there was a third option, and that was the courtesan. The woman who could own her own home was allowed into the libraries. Autonomous, but she was relational. So she was the expert at intimacy, but also the expert at art and culture and in all the kinds of civilized kind of things human beings do, but not for the purpose of having a husband or a family. It's marvelous to have you come and be here sometime, Papa Bear. Marvelous having you come in here sometime. It's very inspiring. Venus and Taurus, by the way.
You.
Her.
He's training me how to be his courtesan. Still in training, but he's a good teacher.
There's nothing better for a Libra to have a all-in committed partner who's also your courtesan. So anyway, courtesan tradition. You know, so this was a third way. Intimate, but autonomous. Personal, relational, but complete unto herself. Right. So, what about the male version? Mars and Taurus. This is another one of these that's sort of is very out there as far as stage three work of a new version of the masculine. Most of the stories about the Taurian type males are not. They're all sort of shadow stories. I used to live in L.A., and I used to have these clients that were models, actresses, singers, dancers, and so on. And they would show me the charts of their boyfriends. And it was almost always lots of Taurus. Taurus, Moon, Mars, and Taurus. And they were the women would say they were really gorgeous guys. But they always had the same complaint. All they would do is just lie there. They supported them. They supported the men. They were their kept men. Pretty boys that they took care of. That is one thing that can happen there. But what if we changed that imagery to a male version with the same characteristics of Aphrodite? Intimacy is art. Relational but autonomous. And with including, in a masculine kind of way, the capacity to receive. Not an alpha male, clearly not. But an expert in intimacy who can receive and give. And is free, autonomous, but not an Amazon, not a warrior. This is a very important god to know about, and I've not known any man who has that position that ever got any better by trying to be different. You know, I need to be the warrior hero. I need to be the king. Whatever. No, huh? Not written, no, because there's an authentic.
What do you say, a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, he is Capricorn.
No, he has an autonomy. I mean, he basically has a sovereignty, and he loves himself. It would be a male version of the, like the old stories of Aphrodite. You know, Aphrodite is with her lover. But she's only looking at her lover out of one eye. She's looking at herself in the mirror at the same time. The experience is for herself. She's assuming who she's with is having a good time. This is exactly the opposite of Pisces. To make a joke of it, the way that Pisces makes love, the love making of Pisces is you look into the eyes of your lover and you say, "How was it for me?" But Taurus, it's your own experience. And because you're good at receiving, you know how to do lovemaking, you're autonomous, you don't, nothing gets in the way as far as any of this mental relationship stuff. You know, you're just in the lovemaking. That's it.
When I got my first reading from you 12 years ago, it was the first time in my life that I was valued for my Taurus. Because up to that point, I just assumed it was a shadow of Pisces, you know, and that it was hedonistic, and that, you know, because there's very few elements of our culture and society that value what appears to be hedonism as a mystery school or as anything other than just somebody who's lazy and indulgent.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, you were the first person that, like, actually said intimacy is art, is actually a respectable path, and actually helped me to feel good about it.
Yep.
You know? Which I notice is a lot, it's like you're saying for Scorpio, that a lot of people who have these positions, they're not valued by society, so they maybe become secretive or they become shameful about it. So a lot of times there's a rebuilding process of just getting people to accept that part of themselves.
Even though you live in the jungle, I'm sure you still have the very finest things there. That's a really good Pisces Taurus combination.
Well, I was just feeling, Adrian, what I'm aware of, just through the work that we do, is that emotions all have ranges, that these positions aren't fixed, that any Pisces can learn to feel themselves being felt. You can learn to extend and expand your range of connection.
We're not all just one. However, in all the years that I've done this, to be able to clearly see the core one that you are and its need to be valued, until that occurs, then if the person learns the other stuff, it's not on their authentic self. They're trying to do some other person's version of it.
Right. You can't change a range by going from 85 to 20.
Right.
It's like you're going to have anger in you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can slowly turn that down and get passion.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're all frequencies that have very specific ranges that can expand slowly. They're not, it's not like passion, anger, or selfishness and generosity. It's a whole range of frequencies that can be embodied and felt.
And actually, that kind of work is a beautiful example of what you two do. This not being a more of a process-oriented group, what we're trying to do is invoke the essence of these core characters that have not generally been appreciated or known. And it starts there. If I see some wimpy person who is just lost in their feelings all the time, and then they have Mars and Taurus, you know, it's like, wait a minute now. What about your experience? You know, it's like the fact that you are desiring to be touched, the fact that you're desiring to sense into your body, this is the thing. You got to start with this. And it's okay to want to be touched. It's okay to get off on my own body. That kind of thing. You know, the celebration of one's own physical form is really part of what the Atharian path is. We did the gods and goddesses. We did what happens with the moon position. If you have the rising sign, actually, Taurus rising people are here on the planet at this point on the great project of reinventing the Garden of Eden without the fall. You know, basically, we have the words that we're why not have a planet that we didn't have to, quote, earn or to atone for? You know, that it's okay to enjoy our experience and celebrate it. And that doesn't mean hedonism. Okay, we're going to have.
Can I have one more thing before us? For me, what I've noticed in my exploration of Taurus and what I advise the people in Taurus is this exploration of sensuality. And a lot of times we think of sensuality as just meaning like touch or food or taste. But like for me, like surfing is one of the most sensual experiences I could ever have because I'm in the ocean, I'm feeling the water, I'm seeing the beauty of the water, I'm in my body completely, I'm having to harmonize my physicality with the power of the ocean. It's the most sensual experience I could possibly have. It's not just like being at home, being touched with a feather.
No, the point here is to actually get the essence of the mystery school. And then you can, anything you do, you can say, I'm going to surf, and I'm going to surf in the Taurus way.
Yes.
I swear, an Aries person does not surf that way. It gets totally different. So it's not about what specific thing you choose to do, but it's the inhabiting of the space of what that school of life is about.
Yeah.
Good. So we're going to do one more.